Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
Here in the headlines this Sunday, January 24th, Pope Francis offers a homily at Mass on the Sunday of the Word of God and reminds us that God's Word always consoles and calls us to conversion. Young people are driving the dizzying spread of COVID-19 in Mexico, and as the week of prayer for Christian unity draws to a close, an Anglican pastor praises ecumenical efforts being carried out in the Eternal City. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. As the Church marks the second Sunday of the Word of God, Archbishop Rino Fisichella presided over Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. Pope Francis had been scheduled to celebrate the Mass, but the Vatican announced on Saturday evening that he was suffering from a painful bout of sciatica and would be unable to attend. However, Archbishop Fisichella delivered the Pope's homily. He invited Christians to make room in our lives for the sacred scriptures and emphasized that God's Word is one of consolation, but also a call to conversion. Lydia O'Kane reports.
Holy Mass for Sunday of the Word of God was celebrated by Archbishop Rino Fisichella, President of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization, standing in for Pope Francis, who was suffering from a painful attack of sciatica. In his homily, which was read by Archbishop Fisichella, Pope Francis focused his attention on what Jesus says and to whom he says it, as he proclaims the Kingdom of God. The Pope noted how Jesus begins his preaching with the words, "The time is fulfilled and the Kingdom of God is at hand." He went on to say that the first message to be taken from this is that God is near and his kingdom has come down to earth.
Il tempo della distanza è finito.
The time of his distance ended when in Jesus he became man, said the Pope. He went on to stress that before all else, we must believe and proclaim that God has drawn near to us, that we have been forgiven and shown mercy. His word, said Pope Francis, continues to tell us, "Do not be afraid, I am with you. I am at your side, and I will always be there." In speaking to us, the Pope underlined that the Lord reminds us that he has taken us to heart, that we are precious in his eyes, and that he holds us in the palm of his hand.
È parola di consolazione, ma anche di conversione.
God's word is one of consolation, but also a call to conversion, said Pope Francis. Repent, says Jesus, immediately after proclaiming God's closeness. Turning his attention to whom Jesus speaks, the Pope commented that his first words are to Galilean fishermen, whom he described as simple folk. Pope Francis pointed out that Jesus began with people not from the centre, but from the periphery. Noting the particular power the Word of God has, the Pope emphasised how it can touch each person directly.
Non li attira con dei discorsi alti e inarrivabili.
Jesus did not appeal to them using lofty words and ideas, said Pope Francis, but spoke to their lives and told them they were to be fishers of men. Concluding his homily, Pope Francis urged people not to ignore God's word. It is a love letter written to us by the one who knows us best, he said. He also urged the faithful to carry it with us always and give it a worthy place in our homes. To be able to focus on God's word, the Pope prayed that we would also be given the strength to turn off the television and open the Bible, to turn off our cell phones and open the gospel. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Pope Francis led the prayer of the Angelus as scheduled at noon in the library of the Apostolic Palace. In his catechesis ahead of the traditional Marian prayer, the Pope reminded Christians that every moment is the right time to convert our hearts toward love of God and neighbor. He took his cue from the day's gospel in which Jesus begins his public ministry after the arrest of John the Baptist. Jesus' preaching, said the Pope, can be summed up in these words: "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." He said two key themes emerge from this message. These are time and conversion. Pope Francis noted that Mark's gospel refers to time as the duration of the history of salvation worked by God.
Il tempo compiuto è quello in cui questa azione salvifica arriva al suo culmine.
The time fulfilled is that in which this salvific action reaches its pinnacle, its full realization, he said. It is the historical moment in which God sent his Son into the world and his kingdom is rendered more close than ever. Yet, he added, salvation is not an automatic process. Salvation is a gift of love, he noted, and as such it is freely given and calls for a freely given response. It calls for conversion. The Pope said conversion implies a change of mentality in which we refuse to follow the way of the world. Sin, he said, brought into the world a mentality that tends toward the affirmation of oneself against others and against God, and for this purpose it does not hesitate to use deceit and violence. On the other hand, Jesus' message of conversion invites us to recognize our dependence on God and His grace. Pope Francis warned that the time we have to welcome our salvation is limited to the duration of our earthly lives, which is brief indeed. It is a gift of God's infinite love, but it is also the time to prove our love for Him, said the Pope. And the Pope urged everyone to pay attention so that we do not let Jesus pass by without responding to His call. After praying the Angelus, Pope Francis paused for a moment to pray for Edwin, a homeless man left to die alone on a cold Roman night.
Lo scorso 20 gennaio, a pochi metri da Piazza San Pietro.
On January 20th, he said, just a few meters from St. Peter's Square, a Nigerian homeless man named Edwin was found dead from the cold. The Pope said Edwin's plight is similar to that of many other homeless people who have died recently in Rome under the same dramatic circumstances. The Pope then invited everyone to pray for Edwin and paused for a few seconds in prayer. He said 46-year-old Edwin was ignored by all.
Abbandonato anche da noi.
He was abandoned, by us as well, said Pope Francis. Let us pray for him. In other news, Mexico's COVID-19 infection rate is skyrocketing, and the younger generation is one of the significant factors. Very slow vaccination rates and a population wearying of long time isolating is proving a highly dangerous viral cocktail, as James Blears reports from Mexico City.
The pandemic infection rate in Mexico is soaring. Thursday registered the record so far of 22,339 people affected, but that's expected to be surpassed sooner rather than later. The government's rightly prioritizing health workers and then teachers for vaccinations, but all of this can only be counted in the thousands. Yet Mexico, which is not a producer of doses, has a population exceeding 125 million people. It's estimated that 40% of the estimated 1.7 million people infected so far are between the ages of 20 and 39. Experts say that many of them continue to go to work daily out of economic necessity in an increasingly fragile economy which was not in good shape to start with, but also influenced rather than governed by a young and restless spirit which overrides common sense and advice to the contrary. Many have continued to socialize and also celebrate Christmas with more elderly members of their families. Many of the younger generation have been carriers of COVID, often being more mildly affected themselves, but the consequences they've unpassed have been absolutely devastating. The very poor example set by leaders also hasn't helped. President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who has a history of high blood pressure and heart attacks, seldom wears a mask at public events, while Hugo López-Gatell, who's the deputy health minister and pandemic spokesman, was last month filmed on holiday in Acapulco eating a meal at a table full of people but minus a mask. Only one bright spot of hope from an unrelated sphere. President López Obrador says President Joe Biden has told him that the United States is sending $4 billion to Guatemala, Honduras and El Salvador to help development there. It's a welcome start, but a drop in an ocean of dire economic need. The Vatican News, James Blears reporting.
At the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis recalled the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which is drawing to a close on Monday. The annual event was due to close with Vespers presided over by Pope Francis in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, but which we'll see instead Cardinal Kurt Koch step in since the Pope is suffering from sciatica. Pope Francis, however, invited Christians to join spiritually in prayer for unity. The theme chosen for the 2021 Week of Prayer is Abide in My Love and You Shall Bear Much Fruit. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Reverend Robert Warren, vicar at Rome's All Saints Anglican Church, said his community has been deeply involved in celebrations this week, but that Christian unity is nurtured and pursued throughout the year.
Throughout the year, we engage with other congregations and denominations in Rome. We have a Rome Churches Together service in English during the Week of Prayer with Christian Unity, but during the year, we have a partnership with a twinned congregation, which is the Chiesa d'Ogni Santi, which is an Italian parish, and we support and participate in the food distribution, for instance, at the Ostanza train station throughout the year. And I have certainly developed a very good network of friendships with colleagues in the Diocese of Rome. Underline that many of our church members here at All Saints are married to Roman Catholics. And so there is a great deal of informal ecumenical dialogue which goes on in our church throughout the year.
The final question is about Fratelli Tutti.
Okay, well, the encyclical appeared in October this year. I have to read it more carefully, but I was struck by its use of the parable of the Good Samaritan and the idea that in a time of global pandemic, this underlines the fact that the practicalities of living through the same crisis with diverse peoples will necessarily change the way we view our common humanity. We do not have the luxury of remaining in our little pockets, and I look forward to reading the encyclical more carefully.
Thanks there to Anglican Reverend Robert Warren. And finally, an annual pilgrimage to the Holy Land of English-speaking bishops from around the world, which concluded this week, was held in a virtual format. The Holy Land Coordination Pilgrimage is meant to express the Church's solidarity with the people of the region. Much focus goes on understanding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and its effects on residents of the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip. Though it took place online this year, one participant, Bishop William Kinney, said the event was a success. The Auxiliary Bishop of Birmingham has made the pilgrimage nearly every year since 2000. Bishop Kinney said he still finds reason to hope, though not much has changed in over 20 years.
For those of us who have been in Gaza many times before, possibly there was nothing very new, except the situation does just seem to get worse and possibly even more extreme. But again, it's the way that people help each other. The Catholic community, of course, is tiny in that number, and yet the way they are reaching out, where the majority of the people who they are taking care of or helping or being with are obviously not Catholic. And again, it is a real witness to what human beings can do.
We're talking about the fact that you've been there for so many years, you've seen the situation, you've been to Gaza, you've been to many of the areas in the Holy Land, and you have a pessimistic view of the political situation at the present time. But trying to kind of garner hope, what can be done in so many ways? I mean, prayer, is that one way? What are the other ways that can really shine light at the end of the tunnel regarding the Holy Land?
That, as you said, that is the last thing we say in our statement from this Holy Land coordination. But also, people give me hope. And there are so many, many good women and men who are doing wonderful things for each other. I think, again, one always keeps saying to our politicians they have to engage. If we could really, again, get them to engage and, again, to put people in the middle rather than power or influence or political advantage. So these are the things that I think could happen. Whether they will or not, of course, is not in my hands. But as I say, my hope always is not so much in the structures, which are not least because of COVID collapsing around us, but people are not collapsing, and that gives me great hope.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.